They're trying to tell us something. They have figured out the formula for chaos.
When the clock strikes 8:30, babe, time to head for Chris's house.
Hey!
Will the sun make it to the next round?
Bone up.
Pot of thunder. Let's pot tonight. Come on, baby, let's pot tonight.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Ow! Ow! Nyah!
Somebody getting injured? What's going on back there? Someone passing a stone?
Oof.
Oh, or worse, a stent.
Oh, we'll hear more about that soon, but welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Blue Microphones. They look great. They sound even better. And you know me.
And he comes to smashing my Greeno. Andy Jones and Pliny's old eyes. No one's safe on Andy Jones' vitriol. So put a verbal shot between your eyes. Oh, you piss off ALB. They'll kick you right in the teeth. You want a piece of A. Jones? Come on, asshole, let's go.
Wow. Man, you guys are just outdoing yourselves every week.
Andy just fat-shamed Mike Reno.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I lost the first line.
Yeah.
Is that what was said?
That's what it was.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I think Andy Jones implied he eats whole pies is the next line.
Well, when you're in the heat of the moment, things just come out. So yeah, I apologize to the Reno family.
That was... I think there a little too much was added onto that one. It got a little...
Got away from me.
Got away. It, well, just got a little muddy the mix.
Like I said...
on there. Yeah, it wasn't the finest production.
I meant it got away from me when I insulted Mike Reno.
Well, I would say maybe.
These things happen when you're...
These things do.
You're going live to tape and you're not editing. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for joining us. Excellent duet. You were in there too, right, Nick?
Oh, like six
Chris,
times.
Yeah, okay. I know Chris was on the lead. All right, but well, you want him. Well, no, not that guy. Here he comes. Yes.
Oh, dancing his way across the podcast studio.
Put a nickel in his hat. It's Nick Pollock has entered the program.
Really, put a nickel anywhere on Nick, and he'll take it. Any crevice on his body is acceptable.
Put a nickel in his butthole, he'll take it.
Yeah,
it's fine. Whatever.
Hey, what? I just got my headphones on. What's new?
Money's money is what we're learning.
Yeah, in lieu of a uniform patch, he'll take a nickel in his butthole.
I wonder if that's what Aaron Judge is going to offer. This is the only Yankee I could think of.
Exclusive rights to Aaron Judge's butthole. It'll fetch even more millions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you.
Yeah, he's here.
He's here. He's got his Shockmaster t-shirt on.
True.
He's already busting through his t-shirt. We're ready. Directly to Nick's left. You want him. We got him.
I can have it every day, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah. Fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast.
Now there's some crisp vocal production there.
Yeah,
every word legible as it should be.
Yeah, the Andy song this week. I have to look at the applications a little closer for when the people come in to produce and engineer this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to call Butt Lang and tell him that it's just not working out.
I'm sure he could tell you over the phone what you did wrong.
Yeah,
from his toilet phone. So here we are, Pot of Thunder, episode 519. Still laughing.
Butt Lang. Butt Dart Lang, of course.
Middle name. Yeah. His nickname.
Dart.
The Dart.
The Dart.
Oh, man. What a day. What a time. What is it, July? What the hell's going on? Man, feeling weird. Feeling weird today. I accidentally drank some pre-workout.
Oh, I've
you had that shit before?
I use it, yeah.
Oh, what, man, I wasn't expecting
you
it.
You jacked up on caffeine?
So, yeah, here's what happened. Our refrigerator at work is stocked with odd beverages, and I didn't read the label. I just saw something that was pink Starburst flavored.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to take that home. I'm going to take that home for the ride, you know, drink it in the car. I start drinking it. I'm like, maybe halfway through. It was a 16 ounce can. I'm like halfway through it in traffic too, so that doesn't help. And I started getting that itch under the skin.
Yeah.
And like my hands feel like they're,
yeah, whoop, 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 yeah, whoop. If you're not what used to it,
dude, your scalp starts itching.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, a lot of those pre-workout things are just loaded with caffeine. Yeah. You got to get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, and you've got to use that energy for something.
Well, ideally, yes. You don't want to be cooped up on the Dan Ryan.
Exactly. It's the worst place to be. I was just, with the right hand, just bouncing it off the headrest of the seat next to me to try to just burn some energy.
I don't know if this is politically correct anymore, but you could always do the Chinese fire drill, right? Isn't that...
Or just go, you know, pull somebody out of their car and kick their ass. That's right, true. There on the highway.
You could do that.
You probably could just... nobody would bat an eye on the Dan Ryan. As long as that bullets aren't flying, you're probably in good shape.
I saw the exact thing you're describing yesterday. No one got out, but some road rage... this woman, it was two women yelling at each other, but where this car was at like a 45 degree angle, blocking the lane next to her and screaming, you fucking hoe, fuck you hoe, just over and over.
She might have just been on the phone.
Well, no, I saw,
you know, people are on the phone and you can hear it a block away because they've got it through their speakers.
Oh yeah, that too.
It could have been that.
Yeah, but yeah, like Chris said, you don't really bat an eye. You just you have to assess the situation and think, am I going to be in danger here?
Yeah.
Or am I just a spectator?
I saw a road rage near altercation just last night. Hmm. Or two nights ago.
Another random bit of mayhem in Nick's life. What Tell happened, us Nick? About it.
Andy saw it on the Dan Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in the drive-thru for Dairy Bell.
Right by your house?
The
Hammond one.
No, the one a little further south. Guy pulled in.
Yeah.
Was sitting there. Didn't quite go all the way to the little the window.
Yeah.
The intercom. So he's not going. There's a guy in a big pickup truck right behind him, and then I'm behind that guy. The guy just decides he's gonna throw it in reverse and hit the gas.
What?
Didn't look. So he's coming. And the guy in the pickup truck, who, you know, the car is heading right for, instead of hitting his horn to let him know, he puts his head out the window.
It's not the ideal.
No.
Was there a collision?
It was like, I thought for sure I was going to hear a crunching sound, but nothing happened. The guy stopped at the last second, then got out of the way. Then the guy floors it about 20 feet to get to... The guy in the pickup truck was yelling, floors at about 20 feet to get to the window.
And that was it, though. That person just took off.
That was it. They and didn't... then, so I'm behind the guy. Hmm. The danger has already subsided.
Mm-hmm.
I start inching up. I'm like, all right, the guy's going to start going, right? No. So I'm thinking, like, he's still yelling, I think. I think he's yelling at me because I was, like, inching up a little bit. I'm like, all right, we're moving, right?
This guy just yells at anybody.
His horn might be broken. I'm not sure.
Yeah, when the
instinct fails to hit the horn, then
something's not firing.
It's chaos.
Yeah, when an accident, when impact is imminent, putting your head out the window is not the best choice.
No,
it's a good way. Maybe he was hopped up on pre-workout beverage, and
dude,
he probably felt much better after he.
So What was the brand? Do you remember what it was?
It said Starburst C4.
C4,
yeah,
okay. It said pre-workout.
It had some name to it, but I looked it up, and it's a pre.
Yeah,
I looked
it up when I got home. Anything pre-workout is loaded with caffeine.
Dude, it was. I've had it years ago, like 10 years ago, when I was going to the gym a lot, and I bought some and tried it, and I didn't like it then. I just thought it was too much. Where, like, dude, you itch everywhere.
You have to get used to it, because I started using some, and the first couple mornings I took it, I was just like, I don't like this. I had a whole fucking can of it, and I'm not going to waste it. And you eventually get used to it, but no mistake, it's just pure caffeine.
I have a couple questions.
All right.
So you drink something that gives you instant DTs, basically.
Okay.
As far as I understand the DTs. And is caffeine beneficial to a workout?
It just gives you energy.
Basically wakes you up or whatever. You know, it could be dragging your ass.
It just gives you the energy to charge through a workout. That's it.
Yeah. You would take it and you want to be moving. It's just what happens to your body.
Yeah.
Sitting is exactly a bad thing.
So is sweating a good feeling when you have that itching under your skin?
It might make the itching go away.
Does it make it go away?
I don't remember. Chris might have to answer that one if that's the
desire. I mean, again, the first, you have to build a tolerance to it. If you just grab a bottle out of the office fridge and suck it down on your as you're embarking on your PM commute, that's a bad recipe there. But eventually you get used to it. But
imagine doing that before a meeting.
Oh, you'd be charged.
Or you're sitting there.
It'd be the worst. Your legs are be bouncing. And
I imagine it's not good for your digestive system.
Well, it's
either.
Not. No, it's not.
It can't be.
Any of those energy drinks, you want to talk about a recipe for a kidney stone. They're also loaded with sodium.
Oh, that too, huh?
Yeah. It's just, you know, you learned your lesson.
Yeah. So. Read the label. I just assumed it was some kind of delightful,
like a
sparkling
Gatorade
water
or something.
Yeah,
like Gatorade or whatever. Yeah. Like Nesquik.
Yeah. And we also have Celsius, which is like, I think that it does have caffeine. Definitely has caffeine, but I don't know if it's like at the level of an energy drink or what, but it's like a flavored water that's pretty good. It has caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's doable. I thought maybe it'd be something like that, but this was that intense full body.
Yeah. Cellucor C4.
Yeah. There you go.
My goodness.
That shit. It tasted good.
Yeah, well.
But shit, man.
Yeah, that shit is.
Isn't that what they shot into Marcellus Wallace's wife when she OD'd in Pulp Fiction?
Probably. They just poured some of this pink Starburst juice on
her. That's what they stabbed her with.
They just poured a little bit on her face and she woke up.
Yeah, 135 milligrams of caffeine.
Is that a lot?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know my caffeine milligrams. Yeah, so I'm still probably charged up from
this. C4 Sport supports explosive energy, performance, and endurance for workouts of all stripes and trainees of all types.
It would have killed me if I tried drinking this.
And this was the most docile moment. Well, one, it was bad traffic the whole time. It was like an hour and 10 minutes to get home, 30 miles. So it was terrible. It was basically torture to just be sitting still.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Oh, well. Hope the headrest is okay. Just back fisting it over and over to try to burn some kind of, I don't know, not burn calorie, but like scratch that itch figuratively.
Yikes. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I don't recommend it if you don't need it.
Well, I'm sure it'll be a sponsor later on in the program here.
We
do have some other thing in the pipeline there that I'm gonna be the guinea pig for. More on that later, but speaking of quote-unquote energy beverages, we do have something in the works that I've been trying to finagle. It's much more seems like healthier than C4, but we'll see what happens.
It's named after a literal, actually an explosive.
Yeah. Yeah, right, that's what that is. It's some type of explosive.
The next week they're going to have a case of nitroglycerin energy drink.
A Sour Patch Kid nitroglycerin. That sounds good. I'll have some of that. And then sit. So
you guys like caffeine, huh?
You know what? I do.
There might be a little bit in the foil here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
One of the ingredients is known to have at least a bit of caffeine.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll be damned. Who wants to eat dainties?
who wants to eat baked treats with me? Oh, 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 oh.
We have a double shot.
Holy
two desserts balls. This week.
Jesus.
Oh, these are different. I thought one just got tipped
no.
over. Two different pieces.
Two, it's two chocolate desserts.
They're fudgy. Yeah.
Look at that. The one, the larger one there, is the zucchini, chocolate zucchini bread that I sent you guys.
Yeah. All right. Now, the zucchini itself was not chocolate, correct?
No.
There's no such thing.
No,
right?
No. It's regular zucchini thrown into a chocolate cake mix, basically. And I guess the moisture. I think that's the philosophy behind adding that. The moisture from the zucchini.
Why is zucchini? And why not a cucumber or put water?
Yeah, or just add water.
Well,
why do you need zucchini?
I don't know. Actually, we had zucchini that was going to go bad probably if we held on to it for another week or so. And we're like, we got to do something with this.
It's kind of like what you do with bananas. You make banana bread out of it.
Exactly, yes. Hmm. So we have that.
Okay.
And then flourless brownie is the smaller one there, which is about the fudgiest thing ever.
There are many reasons that Chris's and his wife's cafe went out of business or whatever. I don't know, maybe that's the wrong term, but closed down. One of the reasons was how much flourless chocolate cake I ate under the table.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
I'm a fan of flourless chocolate cake.
That was my
it's good stuff.
That was my go-to back in the day.
Well, this is a flourless brownie, and I dare say it's the fudgiest brownie you'll ever encounter.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
That's why I gave you guys
which
a small
one is
piece.
Which?
The smaller one is
the smaller one is the fudgier one.
Yeah.
Here, look at this little fudgy
fella. Yeah, it's small, but I think it's enough.
Mm. Small but fudgy. Heard that about myself.
Oh, fudgy consistency.
Yeah, between all the cake he ate and the light cash register, Andy really just
he's fudging
had an active hand in the demise of my business.
He was fudging the receipts too.
Apparently, yeah.
Cash register's a little light, Andy.
And Andy's not.
It wasn't even said in that friendly of a voice. It was like an exhausted, probably just got in, pounded a beer or whatever. Drawer's a little light. And then walked away. Like,
yeah.
I barely knew you. I'm like, well, what happened? I just got here. I don't know what happened. It wasn't me.
I'm blaming you because you're here. So.
That's fine. I'll take the blame. Yeah, I mean, I was more of a eat the product kind of guy than skim off the drawer. But anyway.
Oh, that was me at the concession stand when I helped out.
Was that allowed?
Years ago, yeah.
All you could eat?
Oh, man.
Yeah, they just said do whatever.
They said go ahead, and then when I did, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
They thought maybe you'd take, like, a candy bar.
They didn't know I was in the prime of my metabolism at that point.
They couldn't even imagine it. They couldn't handle it. So, we're going to have these treats. I'm going to do my typical thing I've been doing every week where I save it until, we figure out what this week's song is going to be.
Whose choice is it this week?
Oh, I don't know. Could it be mine? I think it's mine, isn't it?
I think so, because I did the 4th of July one.
Unless you're going to...
And Chris did the last week's one, so yeah.
Unless you're saying that didn't count.
No, it counted.
Okay.
What?
What are you talking about?
You know how Nick's always pulling stunts where he says
all
his...
Right.
He says his songs don't count. Tries to get two pulls 2 weeks in a row. You know,
Andy's been trying to steal... my polls for years.
Has that been years?
I just found out about it, but it goes back years.
It does. Okay. Well, Nick, are you able to pull that
I'm
lever?
Willing.
All right, do it.
Am I able? Get out of here.
Hold on a minute. Weren't you playing some kind of game on Patreon where you were implying that you were going to bypass the listener submission list?
What's this
just
now?
Take fucking suggestions directly from Patreon?
What's this?
Yeah, he was pulling some shit today on Patreon.
Today?
Yeah.
Zero hour shenanigans.
Why you gotta out me?
Well, I'm not outing you. You were in contact with about 30 people on there, so.
Wow.
I think it was more. It was everyone.
Well, yeah. Okay, 70 people.
Yeah.
I got congressional hearing is in order here.
I didn't put any tier restrictions on it.
So what are you going to do? You going off that list, or what are you?
Yeah.
So why'd you have him pull the fucking lever?
He's raking in extra cash. Sorry, I didn't pick yours this week. Try again.
The register is light again.
The walking scratch-off ticket over here.
Yeah. In lieu of, he's got flourless brownie, and he's skimming off the till again.
Still doing it.
It's my nature. You guys act surprised. That's your fault.
My goodness.
I don't know.
So what are you going to do?
What are the odds we got number 390?
What are the odds?
And it was
how much did the odds
it was added to cost? The list today at about 3:30, 3:57.
How much did the odds cost is what I want to know.
Neither here nor there, Nick.
Yeah, well.
Just the right amount is the correct answer.
Tell you, if you could fit anything else in those pants, then I think
well,
some cash would be going in there right now.
Yeah, I got to take it easy on the food. I know that's not what you mean, but
no, I'm talking about money.
Yeah, I know. I wish there's no room for money. Luckily, there's none coming in.
There would be if you distribute it, but that's another discussion. Thanks for reminding me.
Do we get another one?
What do you mean? You don't keep tabs on that shit?
I don't look at shit.
Yeah, obviously.
Andy's too busy hustling.
Busy.
Yeah. Parading around down by the lake.
Ponzi scheme Andy over
videos that he's putting on Patreon. Lining up side cash.
Accusations are
unbelievable.
What do you mean accusations? It's all right there. 70 people saw it.
Well, did it?
Not making this shit up.
All right. Okay.
What, do you like the song, by the way?
Anything? I never heard it.
So you're not interested, I'm guessing.
Well, the money was right, Nick. That's all that mattered.
Now, keep in mind that...
I'm leaving.
are you looking up year 390, Nick? I didn't come up with anything on Wikipedia, but I remember, Andy, you've been cautioned that one of our... a handful of female listeners is celebrating a birthday today. Today being the day that this episode comes out, and you were explicitly instructed not to fuck this up. So,
oh geez, if I knew about that, I would have. Do we have time to start over?
We do not have time to start over.
I didn't know this was a high pressure situation.
I've been
fucking it up since we started.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that just throwing that out there.
Yeah, all right, well, I'm going to try to turn things around. Let's right the ship. Turn it around! We got episode 390.
Oh,
song
390. 390.
Episode 390 was when it was still a pure game.
That's before we had ads on our jerseys.
That's before Chick Gandel over here started producing the show.
Well, I figured if everyone else can do it, why not me? All right. Well, you guys still looking, or do you want me to just move?
Yeah, I mean,
ahead?
I can just tell you who the Pope is. I mean, if we want to do a quick segment, or we could just, yeah, why not?
Yeah, go ahead.
Abemus Papa.
Time for Pope stuff. Yeah, that Pope stuff. Here's some Pope stuff.
Okay. 390. We had a name that I may not pronounce correctly. Pope Siricius.
How do you spell that?
Siricius.
Okay. The first?
I think he might be the only. I don't know. It's just a bunch of stuff about, he was Italian, and there were other Italian families trying to get the tape to see.
So it was black. The first black pope is what you're telling.
Well, there were. Yeah, I think maybe he
countless black popes.
Now, I have something that he did in 390 that I can read off here. In 390, Pope Siricius consecrated the newly reconstructed Basilica of St. Paul on the Ostian Way, and several of his letters contain the first papal decrees that are listed as pontifical documents in canonical collections.
Wow.
Also,
what a word salad that was.
That was. Also, he brought to market the first chocolate-covered peanut butter candy, Sir Reese's Pieces.
I was going to say it's either Sir Reese's or Sir Reese's. Yeah. He was okay with either pronunciation.
Yeah.
Sir Reese's Pieces.
Also, he was Italian, too, so maybe he was, if he was a small guy, he'd be Little Sir Reese's.
Well, and since he was Italian and thus black, he also had a sort of whimsical nickname, Chocolate Zucchini. So
it's a good Pope nickname.
That's not bad. Yeah. Well, so there you go.
There you go. Siricius.
In the year 390, he brought to market a Yardo pizza. What was the thing that they did? The cardboard, the long box?
Yeah.
Oh, the Little Caesars, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was called.
It wasn't a yard, was it? I don't remember now.
Yeah, I'm just combining two different jokes. Whatever that was called.
Good. It's all good stuff.
The double, the side-by-side pizza is the long
pizza
way.
Pizza box. Yeah.
All right.
More educational content.
Oh, yeah. So people love it.
Yeah, we're
people
always,
love it.
We're always teaching something. Okay.
All right, now we got the song in the hopper. We're the only, Nick and I are the only ones who don't know what it is at this point. Well, at the moment, our patrons who are lurking don't know it yet.
Only Andy and Arnold Rothstein know what it is.
I think Butt Lang knows what it is.
I had to consult Butt Lang. Okay. Let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
Get It On.
Off of
Kingdom Come.
Okay.
By the band
Kingdom Come.
Okay.
Ow! Oh,
okay.
So I posted this video today, and I said, what song are we going to do? First response, Get It On, Kingdom Come.
I did notice that.
And then I saw another one that said, I second that. And I said, all right, good enough for me.
So I'm going to just get it out of the way. Mm-hmm. I remember it was Over the Edge, I think, was a single by them, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember that one.
I think that's the one on the cassette that we had. But I know that everybody says, oh, Zeppelin, 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 right? Isn't Kingdom Come always gets that?
Yeah.
Never got too far into the catalog to hear what the similarities are there, but just wanted to get it out of the way. Yes, everybody apparently says Kingdom Come was like a Zeppelin. I don't know,
right,
about knockoff.
We'll discuss that. But it was one of the most off-base criticisms of any band, on par with the Stone Temple Pilots being lumped in with the grunge bands and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just a completely lazy off-base criticism of it, and I would equate those two.
Okay.
In terms of just being unfairly bashed by lazy critics. And yes, it included the likes of Robert Plant himself, who bashed Kingdom Come for sounding
really?
Too much like Zeppelin. But, you know.
I'm surprised that mid-'80s, you know, mid to late 80s, that a new band would rise to prominence and have Zeppelin, you know, like, be criticized for sounding too much like Zeppelin. Doesn't sound like the flavor that was desired at that point.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
Well, I think
about
maybe that's why it stood out to most people, because it didn't sound like Van Halen or any of the sort of California bands and Sunset Strip bands. So that might have been why it stood out as being like, oh, this is Zeppelin-y. So we should bash them for being that way.
So where are these guys from?
Germany.
Okay.
Germany. Yep.
Had no idea.
I believe so. That's what it says out here on Wikipedia.
I know wrong, so little about these guys.
Yeah, formed in 1987 in Hamburg, West Germany.
Hey, I went there.
A couple American musicians, Danny Stagg, Rick Steyer, and James Kotak, who I think he went on to play with the Scorpions. Got really weird. But Lenny Wolf, lead singer, German guy, and Italian-born bassist, which means he's black, keyboardist Johnny B. Frank. The B stands for black. So there you go. Interracial band. Not many people were aware of that, but it is true.
Harmonious.
Apparently there's a Matt Sorum connection.
Yeah, I'm seeing that, so, too.
What was he doing?
He was in some kind of band before Kingdom Come, it looks like.
What, was he German back then?
He was in a band with Stagg and Frank.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know the chronology there, but yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. This one was submitted by Justin Chamberlain.
Okay.
He left a pretty long comment, but I'll read some of it. We'll see how it goes. I didn't read it yet, Justin. He said, I heard Chris L. reference this in one of the season one episodes, citing this song in a conversation where THG, the human Garfield, was sounding off against those who seemingly always want to label songs as Zeppelin-like.
There you go.
This took me back to 1988 when I was a teenager. Okay, I'm sorry, let's see what he said. Which led me to other band. Sorry, not a good reader. This looks funny. Just I see one word jumping out. I recall placing the Kingdom Come cassette in my boombox and playing Get It On over and again. Well, there was a bit of a dickhead, deadbeat, adult male dewclaw neighbor who approached me during one of my listens and said, "This sounds like Zeppelin, only shittier." I bit my tongue. Yeah.
Oof.
So, okay. Well, thank you, Justin. Okay. Thank you. Yep. Okay. So, he's saying this asshole's comment tainted Zeppelin for him. Because of the way this guy approached him and said, sounds like Zeppelin.
See, that should have the reverse effect. So yeah. There you go. Now, we were talking a bit about Butt Lang leading up to this. This is the work of another super producer of the time, one Bob Rock, I believe.
Oh, my.
So, as you'll know right off the bat with the massive drum sound that's about to hit you between the eyes. But we'll get into all the criticisms and whatnot as the song goes on. But they had the opening slot on that Monsters of Rock tour, happened in the summer of '88, which was huge.
And this is '88, huh?
Yeah. So you had Kingdom Come, you had Dokken, you had Metallica, you had the Scorpions, and you had Van Hagar.
Wow.
Touring football stadiums, played. Pontiac Silverdome, I think around here they played Alpine Valley.
Okay.
But they were playing, the stadium circuit that summer. And
wow.
Kingdom Come was on the bill.
That's not when you were there, right? In Milwaukee? No.
No, that was the summer before I was there.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. So I mean, say what you want, but they got that slot, and they were pretty prominent right around this time, for better or for worse. I happen to think they were fine and unjustly lambasted for the Zeppelin comparison, but we'll talk more about it as the song goes on.
Did they put out a lot of albums? I don't really know much.
The only other one I know of, I know they put out several, but I think the other one, the second album, was In Your Face and just had a big speaker on the cover of it, which was kind of neat.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. Okay. So, they got Hands of Time. Yeah, they had a whole bunch.
So I'm looking up this. Okay, so I mentioned the song Over the Edge. I was wrong. It was not Kingdom Come. It was by Hurricane. I don't know why I even know that. We didn't own that album.
Yeah, what the hell, Nick?
I have no idea. I always thought that was maybe a Kingdom Come song. That's how little I know about this band.
Maybe I remember we had this tape, though, didn't we?
Our brother had it. Yeah.
I'm looking at the album cover. Mm-hmm. I remember it, but I don't know any other music.
No.
Maybe it'll come back to me, but yeah.
No, nothing.
Yeah, they had the second single was a big old power ballad, What Love Can Be.
Oh, that sounds thrilling.
Yeah, but this is a damn good rocker. You know, if you're gonna copy a band, which I'm not necessarily saying they did or they didn't, but you know, there are worse bands to sound like than Led Zeppelin. So I don't know what everybody's got all up in arms about, but it was pretty ridiculous. And then, you know, reminiscent of that. A few years later was that, you know, that the whole comparing STP to Pearl Jam, it's like the two bands have nothing in common, zero. So
yeah,
I mean, I would rank those those two comparisons at the top of ones that were completely off base, in my opinion. See,
and I'm all fired up about it because you brought up the lazy is the right word.
It is lazy.
STP. They're just Pearl Jam. That whole thing, which I know David Spade did it once on Weekend Update. That's where it should have stopped. But apparently, that's all most people know.
What
about
do you
say?
STP. I liked them the first time when they were called Pearl Jam. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he's allowed.
Well,
Spade gets a pass.
I'm still gonna enjoy the concert tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. What does that mean? One of our listeners on the Patreon said, "Hurricane's loss is Foreigner's gain."
This Kelly Hansen, current singer of Foreigner, was a singer in Hurricane.
There you go. Okay, that makes sense. So you're telling me Hurricane is not playing the carnival circuit?
They're not.
Maybe they are with someone else.
No idea.
With Chris Hansen singing lead vocals. No. All right. Okay. Let's take a quick commercial break. Chris, you know this song?
Of course.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this video was in heavy rotation on MTV, and I don't know. Like I said, I liked it. I mean, we'll talk about the whole Zeppelin tie-ins and stuff, but you know, it was pretty cool rocker. It has a nice groove to it. I always liked it.
All right. Well, let's have that break. We'll be right back with Get It On.
Okay, drums broke my head a little bit.
Yeah,
I
warned you guys about
right
that.
When they came on.
That Bob Butt Rock sure could produce a drum sound, huh?
All the great producers have Butt as their nickname. George Butt Martin is one of them.
Phil Butt Spector down there. Known for the wall of butt production technique. The wall of butts, actually. I believe it was plural, okay. You know, because there's a whole wall.
A whole wall of them.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
But yeah, so here's... This is what I talked about on a previous episode years ago, which is what Mr. Chamberlain is. Chamberlain, was that the last name of the guy who submitted this?
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
Who remembered that. And, you know, basically it's like anytime there's like a swaggering bluesy riff and like a half tempo, you know, speed to the song, everybody is like, oh, that's Zeppelin-y. It's like, so no band can ever do that again.
Yeah,
give me a
break.
It's
done once and it's dead.
Yeah, I mean, this riff, yeah, it's got that bluesy rock kind of a swagger to it.
Exactly.
But Led Zeppelin doesn't have the market cornered
on
that.
They don't.
And to think
especially
so is
in 1988, I mean.
No. Geez. Yeah,
let it go.
Like I said, and that just occurred to me that Nick was saying that nobody was really... doing the sound, that has to be why it stood out so much and everybody got all bent out of shape about it, because everybody was trying to be Van Halen and playing that kind of like more up-tempo party rock and stuff like that. And this is again more down-tempo sort of blues based. When you say that, it's you're talking about like a pentatonic scale and the intervals between those notes, whereas like the more neoclassical shred or kind of stuff that Van Halen was playing was a little more chromatic and busier, and there wasn't as many spaces in the notes. But when you go back to that bluesy sound, this is what you get. I think it's a great riff, man. It's Zeppelin-y, but again, if you're gonna rip off a band or be inspired by a band, there are a lot worse bands you could copy your style from.
I really like that you use the word lazy for the
comparison,
but I really it keeps ringing true with what I'm thinking about.
It's absolutely true,
and it's more of like a genre homage than a certain band. I think Zeppelin was perhaps the most prominent, well-known band that had this sort of like these sort of riffs, I guess. But it's more of a genre. It's not like you can just say this one band is like. Kind of like when Metallica, didn't they a few years ago try to... Wasn't there legal action threatened because some band used an E to F progression with palm muting? And it was like, no.
Whether that's true or not. Remember we looked it up. We were duped.
I do remember reading it somewhere, though. So for whatever reason, someone made that up and circulated it. But,
yeah. It might have been like a spoof article on that Hard Times.
I think it was some... Like maybe. Basically that, but not as well known of a thing, and it became something at the time that people were quoting. And
well, but we haven't gotten to the vocals yet, but a lot of people would also drew comparisons to Lenny Wolf and Robert Plant, which we'll hear, and we can talk about whether that's accurate. I don't think it is, but and also like just those huge sounding drums, What do people say when they listen to the Creatures of the Night album? Yeah. It's like this drum sound is like a Bonham Zeppelin. Yeah. Just that huge, powerful drumming. And that's what we have here. So that factored into it as well. But, See, that type of thing, like
moaning.
Just the moaning into the mic, which again, like, so Plant did it on Whole Lot of Love. Nobody else can do that ever again. Get out of here. Mm. I mean, Coverdale made a whole, and, Plant used to refer to David Coverdale as David Cover Version, and because he his style was based on that as well, but he carved out a nice career for himself, and he doesn't get slammed for that as much anymore. Even if he did very much in the back in the day, it kind of went away quickly because he was putting out really, really good material, especially that, Deep Purple and the early Whitesnake. Early Whitesnake is another band that's like, blues rock, everybody throws blues into it, but everybody loves that stuff. When they went all glam, a lot of purists were like, they should go back to their original sound. Well,
they just went platinum,
right? And many still, times you know, over. Still the Night is another one that's got they got that Zeppelin-y swagger to it, and it's like they didn't catch a ton of heat, and that was a year before this came out, and they didn't catch a ton of heat for that. It was just this is a kick-ass riff, and it's exploding out of the speakers, just like this is doing, and why not just enjoy it.
Musically, though, I would say this is closer to like Aerosmith than Zeppelin.
Yeah, right.
This has got a much more of a Joey Kramer drumming kind of a vibe to me than a Bonham vibe.
Well, and that's the other thing that a lot of people don't just completely dismiss is the nuance of John Bonham's playing. Everybody think he was just like this caveman who just hit kick drums and snare drums on the 2 and the 4, and that was it. But he had a lot more, you know, nuance and craftiness to his playing. This is, I would say, that's a great point. It's more of like a Joey Kramer style.
All right, let's keep it going.
All right, now that's a little
what?
It's a little Kashmir happening.
Well,
there.
That, so I was just about to say that when they kick in those faux strings, that right when you ended it, that's another nod to, like, it's very Kashmir.
That chord progression, I'm like, okay, they're kind of. I was trying to just kind of see, like, oh, you know, it's not straight up Zeppelin. That moment there was like, it had to be an intentional homage to Zeppelin,
yeah,
because that was pretty undeniable, right there.
Yeah, you're right about that, and especially when they toss in that like sort of mellotron or like faux string bit that came on right when he hit pause there. Yeah, that would probably be like the big. Thing where people were, you know, had their Zeppelin radar perked up, but I don't know. I mean,
that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go down the road too far, but I mean, everybody knows Zeppelin copped most of their stuff from all the American blues guys and didn't give any songwriting credit to it. So to say someone's stealing from them is kind of. Dare I say ironic, but you know, I don't know. It's good music is good music. Why not just enjoy it?
Yeah,
I mean, this is a cool groove. Fans of hard rock should appreciate it.
Alright, come on now.
What's this guy trying to pull?
this isn't even it's not even disguised as anything else. I'm gonna have to say the word lazy in this case might not actually be accurate. Cause I mean that's very, very, it's the same vocal delivery as Kashmir. And it's very close to the same rhythm and melody as well. I mean, it's dangerously close to being like, maybe we should kind of scrap this and do something, you know, kind of rework it a little bit so it doesn't sound so close.
What do you think, Chris? Are you changing your views on it? Well,
listening back, I hadn't heard it in a while. I'm definitely, yes, it's very almost dead ringer for Kashmir, but I don't know. When I focus on the riff that led into this part, and also the part, you know, that's under the chorus, and I don't know. It just, I mean, yes, it occurred to me, but it didn't bother me. Let's put it that way. Okay. And it's just,
I mean, it's cool, but it's, you know, I hate to dwell on it, but it's so very similar. I mean, it's this is not Airborne and AC/DC, you know, where it's like, okay, the same energy, the same same type of riffs and things like that. Like this is actually, you have a specific song that is so very close.
Yeah. Yeah, listening back, I'd back off of you know what I've said before. I was keying in on the intro riff more than this part, but yeah, I mean I get the criticism, but I mean I don't know. I don't think it's.
I mean, it's probably a critique that. Everything these guys did, it was going to be echoed now, and that's, I think, when the laziness could be applied. I would imagine it's one of those things
similar to the STP Pearl Jam thing, where you have 30 years that have gone by and you have people who still think that that's the case.
Yeah. Well,
you hear it once, and immediately it's going to be, you're going to dismiss this group of people
mm-hmm.
forever.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same, the one instance where it was a valid, possibly valid dismissal. It's just going to be echoed forever now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the power of the rock press and the press in general. Someone says that, and that ends up being the story. That ends up being the truth, whether it is or not.
Yeah.
It's not that easy doing what we do. There are those lonely times, and then there's happiness. Now it's time, we're gonna do what we do best. Get it on! Get it on!
See, I would go so far as to say that the vocal delivery, the melody line, and like the production techniques are very Cashmere, but it's much less of, you know, it's much less the lyrics, much less pretentious than Cashmere. You know, Cashmere is what about like Middle Eastern culture or African country or whatever the fuck is going on. I don't even know what they were singing about in that song. This song
That's
is
funny. I never ever paid attention to what that song is about. That's what they're singing about.
Isn't Cashmere a country from that region,
or a sweater from that region?
Well, not the way it's spelled.
No,
is it a country? I don't even know. I don't know shit.
Yeah, region in India.
Okay, there you go.
So it's like, do I really, you know, Robert Plant with the painted on jeans, do I really need to hear him singing about a region in India? I don't give a fuck. These guys are just singing about what it's like to be in a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, we're going to get it on musically. So lyrically, I would rather listen to subject matter like this. It's much less pretentious than what Zeppelin did. And of all the Zeppelin songs, Cashmere is pretty far down on my list. It's not one that I would, you know, if it came up on shuffle for me, I would probably skip it. Mainly because it gets played so much on classic rock radio. Not that I listen to that anymore, but I don't need to hear Cashmere ever again. I've heard it like a million times already.
Yeah.
I remember Andy's favorite version was the one at the end of that Godzilla movie.
I think we talked about this before.
I think so.
Is that the one with Puff Daddy?
Yeah, but I remember in high school, because even back then, there were still like, you know, the guitar playing rock dudes who were into Zeppelin, even though it was like whatever, 2000 or 99, yeah, whenever that came out.
But they saw that as heresy.
Yeah, so I would talk about how I thought it was better.
And then he got Jimmy Page to go on SNL with
him
and play
right.
It.
I mean,
right, I remember
hey,
that.
Man,
that might be what sparked the conversation.
There's something to that. I'm not saying it's good.
It's like, dude, I thought it was better.
Come with me again. Just to get people riled up. You know?
I really like what... It would have been Puff Daddy then, right? That would have been pre-Diddy.
Pre-Diddy. Pre-Sean John.
I like what Puff Daddy was doing there. I don't know. It was freshened it up. Just whatever kind of lies you can make up to rile people up.
Yeah, getting the blood boiling a little bit.
The big chorus of that day.
I do like this. I mean, lyrically, there's not much going on in the chorus, but I do like it, how it breaks back into it. It kind of goes into the Cashmere portion for the verse,
yeah,
and then it comes back into this. I'll still say more Aerosmith type. I don't know. I like it. I like it so far.
And that's the thing I think why I kind of glossed over that criticism is because I fixated on this. And I was like, this is a kick-ass riff. I like this. And then the verses, I don't know. To be honest with you, the Cashmere-isms, was that like again, the faux strings dashes they put in, but like the chord progression being the same as Cashmere, that literally occurred to me for the first time right here as we were listening to it. Mm. And then the vocals, sure, but yeah. you know, it's like ripping on a Sunset Strip guitar player like Warren DeMartini, or go down the list of any of them for sounding similar to Eddie Van Halen. Yeah. It's like these guys, Robert Plant set the template for the hard rock frontman. Mm. So people are naturally going to, you know, mimic his style in a lot of ways. So,
you know, I still have a bone to pick with Robert Plant.
Uh-oh. You do?
Not personally, but just to something I saw in an interview. His dismissiveness. I always thought this was just, it got under my skin a little bit, like too much caffeine gets under your skin, mm-hmm. apparently.
Makes you want to beat up a passenger seat that's open next to you.
When he's talking about Jermaker,
yeah,
like anybody's going to know how to pronounce the title of that correctly. I remember there being an interview where he's like, all the Americans say, hey, I love Dyer Maker. It's like, shut up, Robert Plant.
Yeah, it's a stupid name. Nobody, they should be ashamed of that dumb name.
Nobody knows. And once they find out that it's a play on the word, on the country Jamaica, yeah. it makes you look stupid.
Yeah.
There.
It's a great song ruined by one of the worst names in history.
Well, also ruined by the fact that, and I wasn't aware of this, but somebody mentioned it in the thread from last episode. Sheryl Crow did a cover of that. it completely eluded me. I hope I never hear it.
I was going to say, did you check it out?
It's got to be terrible.
I did not know that.
It's got to be terrible. Hey,
I pick next week. Everybody's got a price.
No. The bidding war has begun. Yeah. Which Sheryl Crow cover is it going to be next week? God. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of
that. I think I actually have heard it.
Yeah, it's got to be terrible.
Mm. There's an electric feeling in the air. The night is young and there is love to share.
Just making Nick talk. Nick,
I say we get it on. I mean, he's telling us to, with that riff backing him up.
Yeah.
Who could not get it on at this point?
And it's interesting that get it on is not a sexual phrase in this song, in the context of this song.
Well, they're German.
They don't do that over there.
They have different priorities.
Yeah.
They're not going to just use cheap... double entendre.
Never.
Over there.
They would never do that. The Germans.
No.
They never.
You're not
going to
hear
that.
The Scorpions using double entendre.
No, never. No. Absolutely not.
And sex is not top of mind for Germans.
No.
We all know that. especially odd sex.
No, no.
Not their thing.
Get it on is, you know, that's adventurous enough for this crowd.
That's all you. Yeah.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. You know, it didn't blow me away, but I mean, it worked for the song. I enjoyed it. You know, these guys never really like rose to the cream of the crop of 80s guitarists, but yeah, it was pretty solid. Kind of that, you know, that slow hand approach to it. Again, I would say more Aerosmith-y than Jimmy Page.
I think so too.
Did you like that they said, "Ooh, shake it"?
I do like that.
I always like that.
Any lead in guitar solo is okay in my book.
Shake it's pretty good.
I'd like that in any song.
Yeah. Okay. Well, keep going.
Yeah.
We must.
What's that dude's name? Do we know his name?
The guitarist? Yeah. Danny Stagg. Mm.
They've got very American-sounding names.
Well, he was an American.
Oh, okay. So
Lenny Wolff was the German guy.
So, wait, they're not...
The keyboardist, bassist was the black guy, or the Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And the other three were American, I think.
Mm. So... Well, I guess I wasn't listening when we started earlier, because I thought there was something about starting in Hamburg. Was that... The band started.
That's where the band came together, but I think all those guys sort of went there to be a part of Lenny Wolff's project.
So that's how big of a deal Lenny Wolff was, where he didn't come here. They brought everyone over there.
Yeah, it seems to be what happened.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of dog shit hotel they put him up.
The same one you were at?
I was just thinking that. It wasn't dirty or anything, but I was just... I remember I was like hyperventilating because it was such a small room. I was like, I don't know if I can handle this for, it was like 8 days.
That's right, when you went to Germany for work.
Yeah, it's terrible.
At least, what do they think they are, Japan?
I
know. These tiny hotel rooms?
Here's what was total bullshit, though. They put me in this tiny room, and then a colleague of mine, they put like 3 blocks away in a regular, normal, nice hotel room. I'm like, well, okay, I see where I stand here.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
It's not like you're not going to realize what's going on.
Yeah. I talk to her every day. So that was communicated. Wait, you're in a different hotel?
How's your room?
It's like, yeah, I can't even fit my suitcase in my room.
Is it just me, or am I detecting a bit of the Gibb brothers' influence there vocally?
Really?
A little bit with the when he busts into the vibrato at the end of the lines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little Gibb brothers happening here.
I got a little bit of the like of Curly from the Three Stooges.
I was gonna go one better and saying that he was taking vocal cues from Popeye the Sailor Man there a little bit. Like singing to olive oil at this point.
The boys are pushing hard and playing out the best.
Just this is so weird. It's like the further we get into the song, it's weird to me. It's getting more and more bizarre, because I guess the reference point is Kashmir already existing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And just from it going to that and talking about just sort of we're a rock band and then going into the Get It On chorus, it's getting more and more bizarre to me as it goes on. Is that happening to either of you?
Bizarre in what way?
I don't know. It's just becoming more jarring, that change from verse to chorus.
Hmm.
Oh, I get it.
Okay. As I'm absorbing it a bit more after hearing it a couple times, it's more bizarre to me than ever.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I probably won't get to hear it because it's almost over. But I didn't.
Well, you don't need to back it up. But
nah,
I mean, it's done it a couple of times already.
And I think you've definitely touched on something that the verse and the chorus are like two different, so vastly different to the point where like I said, I focused on the chorus and that riff, and I'm like, that riff is great. Mm-hmm. And then
it is.
What's going on in the verses, it's like I just kind of tune that out until the kick-ass riff from the chorus came back in, and then I tuned back into it. Like the whole lyrics about, oh, we're a rock band and we're working hard for you, so let's get it on, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'll tune that out, you know. Pay more attention to the vocal melody versus the lyrics, which I do usually in the vast majority of cases. I'm not one to really fixate on lyrics unless they're really good or really lousy. And yeah. These are just kind of an afterthought. They're two sides of the coin, so to speak, of like swaggering rock. One is the American swagger of Aerosmith, and the other one is the British swagger of Zeppelin.
If they didn't want Zeppelin comparisons, they would not have done that.
Well, right, that's that straight ending. Off of rock and roll, how they ended that.
So,
but who says they didn't want them? Maybe they figured, that's our in. We're not going to sound like all the other bands. You know, we're going to do a throwback to a classic rock thing, which you know, the Black Crowes came along a couple years later and made a whole career out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So maybe it was just consciously a first single. It's like, let's lay it on thick, and that'll be, you know, our differentiator is sort of doing a throwback to classic rock when most of that had gone by the wayside, you know? Hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'll definitely eat some crow here because I know I'm going to get taken to task for what I said before we started listening to the song. But, I mean, they're definitely Zeppelin, you know, not even nods, straight up like lifting of specific parts of Zeppelin songs in this thing. But I don't know, it never really bothered me back in the day. Really wasn't sure why it bothered anybody else, and it's we're seeing it again nowadays with Greta Van Fleet has taken the same fucking heat for it, and it's like, so 50 years later, bands can't sound like Led Zeppelin still? Is this going to go on forever? I mean, when does it stop?
Maybe when the Zeppelin people kick the bucket. I don't know. I was going to say, isn't Greta Van Fleet, don't they always say that they don't even like Zeppelin or something? Or they don't say they don't like them, but it's like, oh, that's not our main influence. It's someone totally different. And it's like, it's not. we like them, but we're more into Color Me Bad or something. It's like totally unrelated. No.
Yeah, I don't know much about that, but they're taking the same amount of heat. Yet, you know what? They're successful.
Hey.
So, you know, people like that sound, and you know, Led Zeppelin does not have the market cornered on that. So, yeah. they shouldn't, but apparently they do in the minds of most people. So,
Well,
you picked it, so you vote first.
I gotta go first.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is teetering,
your gut, dude.
I'm giving it a sweet surrender.
It's sweet surrender. Hell yes.
I mean, it's teetering for me.
Yeah.
You're going to change your vote?
No. But I'm just saying it was right there. Giving it a sweet surrender because I like the sentiment of just we're a band and we're going to get it on. And I don't care that much about Zeppelin protecting or whatever, gatekeeping for Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I wouldn't think you would.
So, so that doesn't bother me. I don't know. It's kind of a strutting kind of riff, which is fun if you're in the right mood for it. I have nothing bad to say about this song other than it's a little like verse melodies are a little forgettable, which Chris kind of said that you tune out at that point, but then it comes back with the chorus and the main riff, and I'm into that. So sweet surrender from me. Who's gonna vote next?
I'll go next. I'll give it a sweet surrender as well.
It's sweet surrender.
So it doesn't bother me that it's so very Zeppelin-y.
Yeah.
And Aerosmith-y. I'll throw that in there. I don't want to just be a one-dimensional comparison here, but it doesn't bother me that it's so close, but it makes me really curious as to what the intention was.
Hmm.
What kind of response were they trying to get? Because it's beyond, like, I mean, I'd said it already, but it's beyond just like this band has the same energy and the songs are similar to this band that came before it. This is like, you know how every album that Weird Al does, he'll do an original song,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds just like a song by someone else, like
Dare to Be Stupid.
Genius in France would be a Zappa song or something
like
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this to me sounds like that. Of course it's not a silly song, but it sounds to me like that, where you take a band, you write an original song, mm-hmm. but you do this sort of homage to them and you put in these very familiar drum parts and sort of chord progressions that would be characteristic of this band. And it doesn't really bother me. It's just I'm just wondering, like, why did they do it? Why did they make it so similar? It had to be on purpose, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't mind the song, though. It's a cool song, and when it goes into that chorus riff, I mean, there's vocally not much going on. It's just yelling the get it on, you know, title. But yeah, the riff is great, and I thought the guitar solo was good. And enjoyed the Joey Kramer-esque drum beat.
Mm.
Simple but powerful. I don't know. It's very weird. When you said Kingdom Come, I'm like, okay, I know everybody says they sounded like Zeppelin. I didn't expect it to be this out there and interesting, I guess.
Mm. Okay.
And just filling me with questions.
Hmm. Chris?
I'm going to give it a sweet surrender.
It's sweet surrender!
Hell yes!
You know, sitting here listening to it from an analytical standpoint, again, I'm going to take accountability because I'm going to get taken to task for it, but the Kashmirisms, the nod to rock and roll at the end, I pretty much tuned all of that out in favor of the main riff that started off the song and was under the choruses. I'm just like, that's a fucking great riff. And I love the tempo of it, the swagger of it. I focused on that. The rest of it, I tuned out, but by 87, I had heard enough Led Zeppelin, but I liked Led Zeppelin. I still mm-hmm. like Led Zeppelin, but Led Zeppelin is a band that I've had to take a break from because it's like I've heard them so much over the years that I need to step away. Mm-hmm. Then I can listen to it again with fresh ears, and I'll appreciate it again. But you know, I had to take a break from it. But if you're coming at it from your own song, but it has nods to Zeppelin,
mm-hmm.
but it's not them, I'm going to enjoy it because it's got a lot of the elements that I enjoy of Zeppelin. And I was good with it. And I think that that the conscious decision was involved in this is how we can differentiate ourselves, because everybody is sounding like Sunset Strip, mm-hmm. LA metal. And if you throw it back to what the most influential band out there before Van Halen came along, which was Led Zeppelin, it's 10 years later. I think it's time for that cycle to come around. Let's capitalize on that. And, you know, it got them on the fucking Monsters of Rock tour. Granted, bands get, you know, placed on tours and with the backing that, you know, bands have this massive backing that they don't, some bands don't necessarily deserve it. And they get farther and more exposure than other bands that probably deserve it more. But the fact of the matter is they were on the Monsters of Rock tour.
Were they on with Gorky Park? Would that have been the same?
Well, that wasn't Monsters of Rock, was it? Wasn't that...
That was just the...
Wasn't... No, Gorky Park didn't do Monsters of Rock?
Oh, fuck no. Right. Here in the States?
What was that called, though? That
whatever that Doc McGee thing?
Not Freedom, whatever the hell it's called. Peace Festival or something?
Moscow Peace Festival?
Yeah, something, you know, keep me out of jail for dealing drugs festival is really what it was. But no, Gorky Park was not on the Monsters Rock tour.
Can we be sure?
I'm looking it up just to make sure.
And you want to double check that, Nick. Fact check.
See what Snopes has to say about this.
But yeah, no, I liked the song, and again, for the main riff, it's a kick-ass riff. It's great. Grabbed me instantly.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, look where we found ourselves.
All right, Hammond, I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley wants to know if. Get it on.
Wait a minute.
Rock and roll. Uh-oh. What did Nick find?
No, I found some other news.
Oh, God.
News flash.
Current lineup of Gorky Park.
Uh-oh.
Some Russian guy, lead guitar, lead vocals. Some Russian guy, rhythm guitar, lead vocals. Another Russian guy, rhythm guitar, lead guitars.
A lot of guitar playing.
Marco Mendoza.
What?
No.
Bass guitar backing vocals.
Oh, man.
Kenny Aronoff. Drums.
No. That's got to be one of those fakes.
I'm taking a screenshot just in case.
It can't possibly be.
That's what it says for the current members.
Finally, those guys got a job that they deserve after working hard for all those years. They made it.
Kenny Aronoff farting around with B-leaguers all these years finally made it.
Yep.
Him and Mendoza.
This is astonishing. Astonishing development.
The Iron Curtain was pulled aside for them to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does that mean they're going to do gigs?
They're in the band. I don't know.
I mean, I would think, right? Unless this is just a lie.
This can't be true. It's got someone's got to have punked the.
I can't imagine.
Gorky Park Wikipedia page. There's no way that's true.
I don't know. Until someone proves it otherwise.
If Gorky Park is on the road, we're going.
I mean, Mendoza's doing Journey right now, isn't he?
Is he really?
He's in Journey, I think, at the moment.
Well, okay, there's a picture of him with the Gorky Park guys on the Wikipedia page. I don't see Aronoff anywhere.
I don't know.
This is big news. My mind.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Well, we got to find out if they're hitting the road.
Oh, how great
to
would
the
that
website
be?
Here,
but, can't wait to see Mendoza playing a giant bass Dorito. Taking the one chip challenge to the stage. Marco Mendoza.
Oh, man.
This
This is huge.
That's big news, man.
Yeah, I don't think we even need to vote.
I don't even care about the voting. I just want to talk about this
stuff. Now there's a picture of them on the website. Aronoff and Mendoza in Gorky Park.
Unbelievable.
This is astounding.
This is good news. What's up with those tour dates?
How does this happen? Look at that. They're there.
Yeah. You gotta see this. There it is.
Very nice. What are they at, a county fair? At a petting zoo? What are they doing?
They're just taking a break on the road.
Is there a tour date?
That's hard to say. The fucking...
It's in Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
It said Gorky Park 2022, and it's got their pictures on it. Unbelievable. Like, yeah, all that time Aronoff spent slumming it with the likes of John Fogerty, now he's arrived with Gorky Park.
Unbelievable
playing
stuff.
Playing Bang. Forget Proud Mary. Being behind the kit for Bang is the fucking high watermark of his career.
Fogerty never had him hit an anvil at the beginning of a song.
No,
so
that's what was missing.
He wanted a new challenge.
That's why Fogerty never got anywhere in music. Putzing around with his band. Unbelievable. Yeah, I don't even know if I can process the voting.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no boner.
The whole world's upside down.
Yeah,
right,
we have bigger fish to fry than to move a Kingdom Come song along. This is just like, my whole world view has been changed. It's like, I can't believe it. But there's photographic evidence.
And it's been over a year. It's a 2022.
Yeah,
so that means we should have known
to
this.
Present.
Yeah, we should have known this over a year
ago. Someone should have told us.
Yeah. Man.
I can't believe
it's
it.
It's a gala day.
Shocking. I mean, Mendoza is hard enough to accept, but Aronoff?
Even harder to accept?
He's fucking played with... He's played with Black Sabbath, John Fogerty, Mellencamp. I mean, legends of music. What's he doing?
What's he doing?
Getting some culture, I guess.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of dazed at this point. That's just weird. Yeah,
I really want
what a weird discovery.
I really want to find tour dates, but they're not making it easy. Anyway. Yeah, okay. So,
I wonder if, on a serious note, I wonder if the whole Ukraine conflict thing has something to do with that, with there not being a tour.
Oh, it could be. Well, I was just assuming it would be here. No one over there wants to hear their bullshit. I'm convinced that no one there ever liked them.
It was just here.
It was just like a manufactured thing where they, whatever. Yeah, these guys are huge over there in Russia, and they're coming to America.
They came.
But okay, no one even listened to
them. I got to read you this band photo. You know how bands take photos of the crowd behind them? Like, so
yeah.
Somebody will take the photo from the drum riser. So we've got that one, which you guys have
seen.
There
it is.
Listen to this caption. Stas Naiman, who I don't know who that is that their like their manager or something? I don't know, but
sure.
Stas Naiman revived Gorky Park and fulfilled the dream of Marco Mendoza.
He's been lobbying for this for 30-something years? Is that what I'm to understand?
All the while backing up the likes of Nugent and Coverdale and playing in Thin Lizzy and stuff, he's been dreaming about being in Gorky Park instead?
I mean, you're seeing it. You're seeing this.
I can't process this. I'm completely out of sorts at this point.
That's incredible.
I don't know if I can do a yard of questions. I can't concentrate on anything. That's the fucking
makes sense anymore.
No, it doesn't. That's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Fulfilling the dream of Marco Mendoza. How is... weird.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm out of sorts, man. I'm legitimately, like, dazed here.
You said Stas Naaman.
Yeah.
Our friend Dave McCowan says, I supported Stas Naaman in about 87. They are hilariously bad. So
is that a band?
It must be.
They're responsible for making Marco Mendoza's dreams come true. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I'm going to have to, if that's a band, I'm going to have to check them.
I thought it was a guy.
Out. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell.
The whole band took the picture?
One giant camera.
I guess in Russia, that's what's going on.
Get the four-person camera.
this is a moment here.
Yeah, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Remember that couple kissing in Times Square after World War II?
Oh yeah,
this is like this.
This is Russia's moment, the Russian equivalent. He says, "Yeah, Russian band." So
wow,
had no idea. So Get It On didn't make it.
No, it didn't make it. But really, at this point, even Kingdom Come would be fine with zooming past that.
Yeah, this is bigger news. Can't believe we didn't know sooner. So Get It On is not a rock and roll boner.
But really, what can be in light of this news?
Just this news.
What's going to titillate us musically?
The photo captions on this website are shocking. Listen to this. Listen to this one. Listen to this.
I think we need rage music.
Listen. Resurrection of the supergroup Gorky Park.
I love it. Oh, wow.
I'm loving it.
And Stas Naaman. Quote, there is a fear that the collapse of civilization is coming. Guess what? It's here because Kenny Aronoff and Marco Mendoza are in Gorky Park. I'm astonished by this. I'm legitimately out of sorts here.
That was a quote on there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or at least the first half.
I don't know what they're
talking about. I don't know. It was both halves?
I don't know why that's like sprinkled in there, but it's just the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
it's a shocking Stas Naaman getting into a horse costume and taking a picture together. Some sort of strange cooperative photo taking.
Fucking weird.
Yeah, who knew?
Fulfilled the dream of Marco Mendoza.
Fulfilled. Check it off the list.
Wow.
He can die in peace, apparently.
All that time, he's finally made it.
I wonder if there's interviews where someone was like, what's your dream gig? Gorky Park, without hesitation. Right?
Dating back to, like, 1989.
Yeah. I mean, if this is fulfilling his dream...
You'd think it would have come
up. There must be interviews out there where he's mentioning them.
Yeah, I don't know if I can even talk about this. We might have to move off this subject. It's just that it's making my brain cave in. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
What a that's got to be the biggest derail in the history of the show.
Well, back to the show. If you disagree with our voting, we are sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Do we have any more 10th-year accolades from listeners? That might be something to cleanse the palate. I've got a fucking deprogram.
Anything from Marco Mendoza, perhaps?
His dream.
His dream podcast.
We do have one. Let me pull it up here. Comes to us from a man. Who's this man? Who's this character? Oh, Dustin Johnson. Hey, Dustin.
Oh, boy.
Strikes 10, it must be Monday night. A decade of stupidity, but that's alright. Listen to Pound of Thunder tonight. Leave us a voice message tonight.
Jesus.
It's your boy Dusty Balls. Just saying congrats on 10 years of Pound of Thunder and just all of its glory. What an achievement, 500 episodes and counting. Just want to say thank you from all of us for giving us 10 years of amazing laughs, songs, shenanigans, bullshittery. So keep on trucking, rock and roll, And if you don't like it, that's just the fucking way it is.
Wow, thank you, Dustin.
Sorry you got checked into the board so hard right when the
blast of static off the almost is in your face as the drum intro to Get It On.
What the hell was that, Dustin? What happened there? And he's got what I can't even pick out what that was.
It's My Life, I think.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, he had Gene singing It's My Life back there.
Okay, I was going to say, it sounded familiar, but I couldn't pick it. Couldn't put a finger on what it was.
It might be a Gorky Park song. I don't know.
Something Mendoza's working on with Butt Lang. All right. Well, that was very cool. Happy to hear from you, Dustin.
Yeah, thanks, man. And he's got another bracket in the works.
I got it in my bag. I'll give it to you.
Really?
No, I'm out of that. I'm getting out at the bottom. I finished dead last in the Christmas movie. I'm done.
I thought I would, but Camarado did worse than me.
Did he really?
In the movie one, he beat me by a couple of points.
Which movie one? Not the one I finished last.
The comedy movies or something?
Yeah, the comedy movies one.
The most recent one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to lose, and he swooped right in there.
Some people exit when they're on top. I'm exiting at the bottom. I lost by a landslide intentionally on the Christmas movies bracket.
I've been there.
And I'm done. But
well, Dustin, he promised me a certain TV show would be on this list.
Trying to find it for you.
I'm hoping.
With the one I suggested?
Well, the one that, I believe you suggested it, and he said yes, it'll be on there. So we'll see.
Got all these papers.
If so, it's going all the way.
Yeah, and then you'll be done too because you'll finish last.
But I'll finish last sincerely.
Oh yeah, no,
that's important.
The movie I moved through to all the way to the championship in the Christmas movies was my legitimate favorite, Scrooged.
Hmm.
But the rest of it I intentionally botched because I wanted to finish dead last, and I did by a landslide. So, mission accomplished. I'm done with the brackets.
Hmm. Well, when we review the next bracket for the TV show championship, we'll see Nick at the bottom, and we will say,
"Hell no, trash ass Nick."
That's what I'm going for,
trash ass Nick.
Yep. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with the Yardo questions.
Oh, yeah. Yards of questions,
motherfucker! I give them.
Swing away.
Yes, chief.
Make it make it an easy yard. I'm literally on the ropes here.
Right.
I don't know if I can function. I'm still dazed from that.
We can just pull it.
We're already okay. You started the theme music. Let's carry on. I'll soldier through. I'm a professional, but it's not going to be easy for me, I'll tell you that.
All right. Well, I got a perfect one. Not a lot of overthinking.
Good.
From Tanis O'Connell. This is the way we like it. Hello, thank you, Tanis. It says, three questions, no more, no less. Question one. You go on a trip to the zoo. What animal is the first one you want to see?
The first one I would say has got to be some kind of bear. Maybe the polar bears. I'm going polar bears.
It's a good animal.
Now, do the polar bears still come out in the summer?
That's the problem, though. They're not always out. But still, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, the zoo I went to the most was the Detroit Zoo, obviously, and I think it was either one of the very first exhibits closest to the entrance, or it was just the one that we always went to first, but I was always the first exhibit I was interested in seeing was the penguins.
That's a good one.
Penguins in their little, the habitat, enclosed habitat, swimming around, putzing around on the ice. Yeah. It was an indoor exhibit, obviously. Yeah. So, but that was always at or near the first of any zoo visit, and I think mostly because it was proximity to the entrance, but once you're in there, it's like, yeah, the penguins are cool. Everything else is going to have to live up to that standard.
Question two. Someone kills your dog.
Oh.
And like John Wick, you immediately vow revenge and start planning their demise. Who is the first person you call to help you on your mission? I got one right away. But
I got
I'm not
one too, but I'm not, I don't want to say his name.
Why not?
We probably have the same one.
If it's who I'm thinking, I'll have that same
it's
guy
unanimous.
Too.
Maybe we should just
was
move
he
on.
was he a part-time resident at Throat Donut Studios?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the same guy. Okay. I want him.
I guess we can move on.
Yeah,
all three of us. He's on episode 6, I think.
Yeah,
I forgot.
He's a great choice. He's the only choice.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, I want him on speed dial.
We're all in agreement. Yeah. That was easy.
Unanimous choice.
Uh-huh.
No BS if you smell what I'm cooking. Mm,
there you go.
Or in this case, yes BS. We all want it. So.
And not only would he... would he be the one to call, but he would be more excited about it than you. He would be more fired up than you to do this.
Absolutely. That's why he's the right guy for the job.
Yeah.
Perfect choice.
You'd have to calm him down.
That would be his version of Mendoza being in Gorky Park. A dream come true for BS.
He might be over at the house Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a few years.
I haven't
seen
him.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
For me.
Probably since the bachelor party.
Yeah, that's when he was on, yeah. Was that 6? Episode 6?
Yeah.
Or is it 3?
Was it that early?
No, it was closer to 6, I think. Ladies' room.
Ladies' room.
It might have been 9? I don't know.
It's early. You can find it if you want to find it. And question 3. You're part of a bank heist. What role do you play within the context of the robbery?
Ooh.
Are you the mastermind / leader, the enforcer, the loose cannon, the getaway driver?
I'm absolutely 100% the getaway driver. That's me.
Okay.
Thinking about Ocean's 11 now. What would be the most fun? I think I would be the diversion.
The diversion.
Be polka dancing across just, the bank just lobby.
Like, just like a guy, just like kind of being like a hapless guy, maybe knocking something
fumbling,
over at the
yeah.
right second. You know, mm-hmm. some kind of you're occupying someone's attention.
You'd be like the Gruber with a stalk of celery sticking out of his ass, causing a diversion.
I don't think Nick saw that yet, right?
I haven't.
Still haven't watched it.
That's how he causes a diversion in that movie. He just
that would do it.
Does a moonwalk with a stalk of celery sticking out of his naked ass.
That would do it.
You've not seen that movie.
I've never seen
it.
I've never even seen a sketch of
so
MacGruber.
Really?
I'm totally unfamiliar.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah, I watched it.
I've heard of it, but I've never actually
so
seen
it. So much better than it needed to be, to the point where it's just like, even if it wasn't an SNL sketch, it'd stand on its own as a brilliant lowbrow comedy. So well done.
And it's quite a bit more developed than the SNL sketch version.
Oh, of course.
Like
yes.
You know,
like every SNL movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's, you know, very one dimensional on SNL.
But that for that exact reason, though, when you're familiar with the SNL sketch and you hear they're making a movie out of it, it's like, how the fuck
right.
are they going to make an entire movie stand on this premise? They nailed it. Hit it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yep.
And, of course, Jericho's in it.
That's right.
You knew that, right?
I remember it being mentioned.
Yeah.
It's good in it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a fucking brilliant lowbrow comedy. A masterpiece of the genre.
Yep. All right, well, Tana says, thanks, guys. Have a happy rest of the week and keep up the good work. Thank you so much. Very sweet. I like that. In and out, quick Yardo questions.
We all need some rest.
We do. We're all tired.
And the reason why I say, and I have to bring this up because I was just reminded of this today, actually. When I was in the band and also working at the Hard Rock, this guy used to come into the Hard Rock every day, was like the gopher at this marketing firm that had a headquarters in the Gold Coast over there.
Okay.
And he would hook a bunch of us up with like odd jobs over there, which basically we'd work like an hour or two and bill them for eight, and we'd also like bartend their rooftop parties and stuff and just make a bunch of cash and make off with all their liquor at the end of it and stuff like that. It was a great packet, you know.
Not bad.
And this marketing firm had a company owned Rolls-Royce Silver Ghost or Shadow, whatever. Wow. Like a full size 80s Rolls-Royce. Wow. You know? And occasionally this guy who hooked us up with the work, his name is Judson, we'd have to do a bank run. That's why I would be the getaway driver. Yeah. So we'd have to do like a bank deposit or something like that. And it's Chicago, you know, the bank was in the Loop. You can't park anywhere. So Judson would be like, he'd come get one of us. Occasionally would be me and be like, let's go. We got to do a bank run. We're taking the rolls. And he would have to go in and do the deposit. So he needed somebody to circle the block, as it were.
So you fucking drove that thing.
Circling the block in the Loop of Chicago in a fucking Rolls Royce Silver Shadow. Wow. I was just like, it's among the most surreal moments of my entire life.
Wow.
So
what was that like, driving that thing?
Rolls Royce is like a whole other universe of like luxury and like elite possessions. It was just like I said, surreal to even like be behind the wheel of that, and also just like driving around Chicago when any asshole can like rear end you or sideswipe you or whatever. And it's just like, this is crazy. So that's why that was a good question today, because I do have some experience circling blocks while my colleague is doing his business in the bank. So
there you go.
And if I can do so in a Rolls Royce, even fucking better.
In a conspicuous vehicle.
Yeah. Right, exactly. No kidding. Blending in.
Not exactly the overpass scene from Goodfellas, or the tunnel scene.
Oh, yeah.
Not exactly that, but...
Alrighty. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more Pod of Thunder. And if you're on our Patreon, thank you. If you're not and you'd like to, go to patreon.com/podofthunder. Check it out.
Or go to the Patreon tab at our website, podofthunder.com. You can get there through that. And also see the names of all the lovely people who support us in that way. And who we appreciate very much. And yeah.
Yes. We'll be back.
Have a play of titties, the perfect stare that is very ball. Can I play with titties? From this creek you'll take it all. Can I play with titties? She saw my prick and she laughed at me. Ha! Can I play with titties? She said, these tits you'll never see.
Oh.